It's This Week in Classical Music, an update on what's happening in the classical music world. I'm Randy Kinkle. What was the most important year in classical music? Mike Ashman, writing in Gramophone magazine, says the year 1876 was the most important one. That was the year that witnessed new ways of promoting and supporting music in performance. And a lot of it was due to Richard Wagner. His Bayreuth Festival opened with his Ring Cycle. It was the first artist-led and artist-promoted festival. Journalists, including composers Tchaikovsky, Grieg, and Saint-Saëns, who covered the event as newspaper reporters, became the first widely circulated music critics and helped make Wagner into the first media music star. Another innovation at Wagner's festival, it was the first time the audience sat in the dark to better appreciate the carefully lit stage and special effects, which became almost as important as the music, sowing the seeds for today's pop concerts. The opening of Georges Bizet's ultra-realistic opera Carmen the previous year, with its realistic portrayals of sex, violence, and street life, had made traditional grand opera seem a little old-fashioned. After more than a dozen years in the writing, Brahms' first symphony was unveiled in Germany, and Ponchielli's opera La Gioconda became a hit after the first performance, music that made a reappearance in the 20th century in Disney's animated classic Fantasia. That's all 1876. Going to a classical concert used to be a much noisier, rowdier experience than it is today. What happened and why? Alexander Lee, writing in the magazine History Today, explains it for us this way. In concert halls of the past, the main floor was without seating. That was for lower-income folks like soldiers, students, and servants who used the space to meet friends, drink, and gamble. They tended to treat the actual music with noisy indifference at best, or vocal contempt at worst. It wasn't until the late 19th century that silence was expected of audiences. Why did audiences change? Social factors mostly. Though public opera houses were financed by the rich, performances could be attended by everybody. But in the later 19th century, less formal music halls started popping up, offering every kind of entertainment from music to magic shows, with a deliberately relaxed vibe, and they soon became the favorite hangouts of the lower classes. Opera houses became the territory of the upper and middle classes, and they wanted to distance themselves from the noisy and crude behavior of the music halls. Silence, in other words, became a mark of social distinction, taste, and refinement. Lee says that when we listen to an opera in silence, we are really just perpetuating a form of Victorian snobbery. For more on these and other items and events, go to the website, kbach.org. Be listening each week at this time for another update. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Join us every weekday at noon with Linda Cassidy for the Most Wanted Hour, playing your top 100 picks in classical music. I'm Randy Kinkle for This Week in Classical Music.